All right, Wayne Bettis here, the founder of the Off The Tools podcast. I just want to introduce you to our brand new sponsor, directplumbingsupplies.com. It is founded by a former tradesman who has set up his own plumbing and heating merchants. He has an online shop, which is obviously at directplumbingsupplies.com, and he delivers across the UK. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of the show.
You are now listening to Off The Tools with the one and only Wayne Bettis.
If you're passionate and driven and focused in what you do, people will take notice. You can achieve anything you want to achieve in life.
The excuses are not valid.
Welcome, everybody. I'm super excited for this next episode of the Off The Tools podcast. I have a fantastic guest. Well, he's not only a guest, he's now a friend of mine. Welcome to the show, Etan. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to actually be recording, man. We've been like speaking and meeting up for ages, and we've been meaning to do it. And we're finally sitting here recording the podcast, which is awesome. Yeah. For those that don't know who Etan Bazil is, just introduce yourself to the group and the listeners and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Etan. I'm a plumber and a gas engineer by trade. I own Elite Heating and Plumbing, which is a sort of small to medium sized firm coming out of Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire.
Avoiding Bedfordshire, I hope.
We're staying out of your patch, mate. We're staying out of your patch. I'm not on the tools anymore. I am off the tools completely. So this is a good place for me to be. I'm also the founder of something called Help Me Fix, which is a video chat maintenance platform some people may be aware of. Most recently, I've been flying around the country interviewing property investors and landlords and just mixing it all up. I'm just getting involved in all kinds of different things at the moment. And that's it in a nutshell, really.
Well, we'll jump back to Help Me Fix It. Okay. I want to talk about that a bit later on, if that's all right. But
yeah, absolutely.
Sort of like you mentioned that you're off the tools now, but I'm guessing at some point you was out on the tools working hard at like physically. So how did you sort of get into the trade and what was that part of the journey like?
Yeah, I mean, like, I did the whole lot. I mean, I did an apprenticeship. I was a terrible apprentice. I did an apprenticeship and I fell through ceilings and walked through glass doors. I did the whole lot. I was terrible. My old man trained me up, and then so he's a gas engineer as well. And I worked for him for a number of years, and then eventually I wanted to build this massive empire, and he was like, "No, I'm not. Like, no, I'm not interested." So I decided to sort of start my own thing, and then I did the whole journey. So I started on my own. I had a tiny little van. I borrowed some money. I got myself set up, and then. Then I got an apprentice, and then I just started to get employees and worked like a maniac for years. And eventually, like a year ago, just decided that finally my staff actually persuaded me to come off the tools.
Because
they told me that I was like too hard work to be around when I was on the tools. So they said to me, like, you can relax now. You can take a step back. And so I did. And it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Are you a lot of people that I speak to that get off the tools? Well, not a lot, but I'd say a fair percentage are a bit shell shocked at the difference between sort of the manual going out every morning to all the different jobs to then sort of being more office based or home based, whatever it might be. Then, like, how did you find that transition from tradesman to like full time managing director type thing?
So I found it really, really difficult to let go. Yeah. That was the main thing. To let go was very hard. I had to teach myself how to stop trying to do everything. And then I started micromanaging, which was even worse. So I would be watching everything that was happening and watching emails that were coming in. And you know, and interrupting the process and, like, you know, saying and causing loads of problems, basically. And then when I finally sort of let go, I actually really enjoyed it. And then I wondered how I ever did it all. And I still wonder how the hell I managed to run three staff, do the job myself, and do all the business side. It was just a mess. So, but yeah, right. I love it, mate. Like, and I do the odd day, like, now and again, just for fun.
On that micromanaging point, you know, I went through a very similar thing where basically I was just sticking my oar in, and it was just making things, like, worse. So, like, now when, if anyone contacts me, like, directly, they get my personal number or whatever, I'm just honest. I'm like, look, don't involve me in this process, because I'm just going to make it more messy. Rig the office, follow, like, the way it's meant to be, and your job will go nice and smoothly. If I try and butt in now, I just get it wrong. Yeah, or overcomplicate it.
Yeah, I've realized that I'm kind of almost like my own worst enemy in a way, but because, so the team that I've got around me are really competent, like, they're really, really good. It took years to get to that point, but they're really good. And I tend to be quite an emotional kind of guy. So what will happen is, like, if, like, for instance, an agent will call me if they've got my personal number and ask me if I'll squeeze something in for them, knowing full well that if they call the office will tell them that they're fully booked.
Yeah.
And so I'll start messing around with the diaries and everything and just causing problems. So now I just don't answer my personal phone unless I know who's calling. So, I haven't found it difficult, I would say, to come off the tools and to change my job. But the control thing still gets to me sometimes. I still feel the need to micromanage occasionally.
I think that just comes down with when it's your baby, isn't it? It's like, it's your business that you want to, although the plan is to get further away from the day-to-day running, it's a very hard process, you know, I think you used the words to let go. And that is so true. And I think we speak for lots of other people that are going through that journey or have been through it. And it always seems to follow the same sort of process, if that makes sense. Again, it's good to hear that it's not plain sailing, because I think a lot of people have this false illusion that you can, like, switch your business and you can get off the tools. It's all singing and dancing and no stresses and hassles, when it's not, you know, that's not life, is it?
It's hard. No, it's hard. And the other thing is that the bigger you get, the more you realize that your job is basically to put out fires.
Yeah.
Once you understand that, and that, you know, essentially you don't get all the great stuff anymore, so to speak, like all of the, you know, like when you finish your job and someone says, oh, thank you so much for getting my heating back on, like, oh, you're the best and all that. You don't get that anymore. You just get, oh, you know, Darren has flooded out.
I call it the shit pit. So effectively, I'm in charge of the shit pit now. That's like what I do. I only have to get involved if Saints hit if it's in the shit pit now. Exactly. That's sort of the general rule. So
exactly.
So can you describe your business? Like, is it you and a couple of staff, or like what is the infrastructure that you've got, like, right now?
So there's 11 staff at the moment. So
okay. A decent size then.
Yeah, we're fairly big. So there's myself and my wife. So we're directors. Then you've got Rachel, who's basically the operations manager. She runs the office and handles the diaries. Then you've got Dave, who's essentially, he's now actually trainee managing director. So he's training to be me, or to do what I do. And he looks after the men and deals with, like, parts and quoting and stuff. And we've got 5 gas engineers, full-time gas engineer plumbers. We've got 1 full-time subcontractor. And then we've got 3 apprentices. In fact, I think there might be more than 11. We've got quite a few bods running around.
Wow.
But there is a very definite kind of structure to it. It's very, like, old school, classic kind of, you know, bloke in the office, a couple of people in the office, and then a couple of engineers, and then you've got a couple of apprentices under there. Yeah, quite a big team. I want it to get bigger now that the infrastructure's there, and obviously we've got systems, and we use very similar systems, me and you. So you obviously know like service mode.
Well, let's jump straight into that then. So like, how important for you in the growth of Elite was systems and automations and processes?
Like life changing. Like you can't do it without it. You can, but you need much more middle management, and that's a waste of money today. You don't need it anymore. So we used to use, so I started off with a diary and a pen, because that's what my old man used to do. And then I quickly got bored of it. I couldn't handle it. And so I started using Google Calendar. And then I went on from Google Calendar to something called Powered Now, which is great if you're a one man kind of entity, or whatever. And then I tried all these other things, like Field Motion and a few other things like that. And then I found ServiceMate, and it just like transformed the business. And off the back of that, I've learned how to build automations with other software. I use Zapier a lot. And I, you know, everything that we do, every process that we do, I'm looking to automate it, and it stops a lot of mistakes from happening. So like forms and stuff.
On that, right? I'm in the coaching that I do with clients, and one thing that I do is try to ask very like thought-provoking questions. I think that's one of the jobs as business coaches, to ask that thought-provoking question. And I actually got asked something yesterday from a coach of mine that I work with. And it was, does automation make you lose that personal touch? And I sort of sat there and thought, okay, I can sort of see that angle to the question. Like, so is there a point where thing like, what's your thoughts on that question?
I would say it's the opposite, to be fair. I think that there's a dip. So you've got a canyon, and on one side is when you first start out, and every customer knows you personally, and they all know who you are, and they like you, and you build your reputation in your business based on that. And then you start to get bigger, and you can't give that attention to every customer, so you lose it. And then you come out the other side, and when you start to put in personal kind of automations, like, so for instance, I'm in the process of building one today, actually. We're obviously, we can talk about this in a bit, but we're heavily pushing service plans at the moment. Thank you, Wayne.
Little plug there. He did go through my training course. So visit the website to have a look. Sorry, I got to eat, man. I got to feed my kids.
Look, man, it's the only way to build a sustainable business model now in this crazy world that we're living in is residual income. Yeah. Otherwise, you're living from one month to the other. So anyway, we're doing a big push, and I thought a great way would be on the way to a boiler service, for instance, when the engineer is just about to leave and he's just on his way, you just drop a quick text automated to the homeowner saying, by the way, if you sign up one of our service plans today, we'll knock 30% off your bill.
Yeah.
And it's fresh in their mind. And I personalize every text message, so it's coming from me.
Yeah,
and they can reply to those text messages, and every email comes from me as well. And you know, my face is plastered all over the quotes and things like that. So even if they can't physically talk to me on a day-to-day basis, they're seeing my face, they're listening to my messages. Do you know what I mean? And that's the
and that thing. That is some great advice there. And I run mine very similar. And it's like you've given away two great bits there. The one is about leaving, I call them seeds. So you, like, just me mentioning the service plans, for example, was a seed to my training. And you mentioning in the text messages, you're just planting that seed. So when your engineer gets there, you know, it's not this random thing you're discussing. They're already pre-warmed to that conversation happening. And then obviously, then you mentioned about personalization. People buy from people. So you've only got to look at like the likes of Boxed that have come in and totally disrupted this industry. They are personal. When you book a boiler through them, you get a picture of the engineer with a little bio. You know, they've taken corporate and tried to personalize it. we are, as a small business owner, we can actually genuinely be personal. Does that make sense? Because we're in control of that. And that's so important, is to keep that personal touch, I believe. Because until you're at the point where you're like an actual corporate company and it can't be personal because of the numbers, you know, you want to maintain it. That's a selling point. That's an asset to why someone would go with you.
It's massive. And I remember wanting to be corporate. So I remember going through this stage where I was like, right, I need to separate myself out of elite so that one day, if I want, I can sell it. And then I realized that I was elite. So people were buying me rather than buying a name of a company. And so now, literally, I've got these like cheesy headshots and they go on the quotes, like even down to, you know, when I send them email. So I got a great little tool. If anyone else uses is it HubSpot? Is it the
I don't use it, but yeah, I know what you're on about. Yeah.
So they have this thing. I don't use it either, but doesn't matter. They have this signature creator.
Okay.
You can create like an email signature, and it puts your face in it. Like it puts your photo in it. It's really cool. So every time you send an email, they're seeing your face, and so even if they've never met you, they feel like they know you. And yeah, that I've realized it now. It took me years. And then I lost customers because they were like, you know, we like you, we trust you, but we could never speak to you. We could never get hold of you. And yeah, it's a tough balancing act. It really is.
And sometimes that is the downside to growing. You are gonna lose some level of your clientele purely based because you're no longer the company that they were attracted to, and that's part of growth, isn't it? I think you've just got to accept that sometimes, you know, you're not gonna fulfill everybody's desires, and it's more about how you can fulfill as many as possible. Rather, you could have stayed small and you could have kept them clients, but you needed to grow, you needed to expand. And that's the same in life. You know, the people that are around you right now might not be the same people around you in 10 years time, like you and me, for example. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you, you know, over the last year. I think it's been, isn't it? Something like that.
It's been 8 months, about a year since you met at McDonald's. Yeah. Isn't it?
And like, You're now an asset to me, and as a friend, as someone I can speak to. But that said, in 5 years' time, we might be in two totally different places, and that might not be the case. And you've got to accept that in life, in business, and in everything, haven't you? That change happens.
Everything changes, and it's embracing change. I think that makes the difference between being a company that survives and an individual that flourishes as well in life, or being someone that just gets stuck. And you know, like if you get stuck, it's very easy to get stuck, and it's very easy to be afraid as well of change. And especially in our industry, it's massively changing every 5 minutes. Something new is happening, something different is happening. You know, technology, my God, like the things you can do with technology now. I mean, there's so we're getting into something called like smart IoT technology at the moment, right? Which is essentially, you bang a load of sensors on the walls, and they tell you if you've got a leak. They tell you, you know, if there's too much condensation in the air, if there's a risk of mold, if there's, you know, if the property isn't properly heated, and it all gets done automatically, and no one even needs to go.
Wow.
I mean, this stuff is out there. Like it's unreal. And I love it. I'm very into that kind of stuff. I'm very into change and innovation and things like that. But what they can do is bonkers. They can fix boilers now without even going there. Special kind of internet-based technologies that plug into certain makes of boiler, and they can diagnose the fault without even being there. So yeah, crazy stuff.
It certainly is. On that technology conversation, it's sort of leading us on. I wanted to hit this in a little bit later, but let's just do it while we're talking about technology. You have spent a lot of time and money creating a new venture called Help Me Fix. Do you want to let our listeners, our audience, sort of know a little bit about that journey and what it is and how you come about it. And yeah, tell us a bit.
Yes. So the guy that trained me, it's called Pete. He trained my old man, right? So he's been in the business for a long, long time. And his back and his knees, they're completely just gone. And he came off the tools. He wasn't able to do the job from about the age of 50. And he said to me, I was sitting in his little office, his shed in the garden one day, and he said to me, do you know what? Someone should make like a premium rate number that you call up if you've got like a problem with your heating, because, you know, I could sit there all day and just give people advice and tell them about, you know, different problems and probably guide them, you know, over the phone. And I kind of thought about it, and I thought, you know, I thought about how my knees were going, and I thought it's actually a really good idea. But in the 21st century, it wouldn't really be like a premium rate number. It would be like an app. So I decided to blow loads of money and a year of my life and build this app that connects, basically connects people with tradesmen over video and to help them solve like simple faults like low pressure, or, you know, like teach them how to use their heating controls, or if they've knocked the gas off or they've knocked the fuse bar off or whatever the problem is, to teach them how to kind of resolve it over video. And it's just developed into this massive service that's primarily for sort of landlords and tenants, and it's got loads of cool features and stuff like that. But essentially what it does is it takes out a lot of the crap in the property maintenance process. So all of the tenant calling the managing agent, who then calls around the contractors to see if someone can get there, and it's all last minute, and then they instruct the contractor. Contractor goes there, goes, oh yeah, it's a tap. Then tells the agent. Agent goes to the landlord, and round and round and round we go. It just eradicates all of that crap. And the tenant gets straight on video with the contractor. Contractor will go, yeah. Like I did a motorized valve the other day, so I showed the tenant how to open the motorized valve, and I was like, needs a new heater motorized valve. I literally walked from my kitchen into the front room. I was there for a couple of minutes. I had 20 quid. I walked back out into the kitchen. I carried on with my wife talking. And the tenant had their heating restored. The landlord knew that it needed a new two port and had a full job report. And I'd earned 20 quid.
So it sounds like then that it's... Potentially, it's not going to suit every situation, but for a lot of calls, it's going to save the landlord like an initial visit charge and the time and effort and all the crap that goes on between trying to liaise all that. It's going to save you guys as engineers from having to go out and diagnose silly things that could easily be spotted with a service like that. And on top, the people on the end of the phone are going to be earning some coin for that few minutes of like diagnosis. Yeah, I like it. I think it's a really good idea.
Thanks. I mean, look, it takes... So I have been on call for some of my agents, more as a favour, really, because like nobody likes to be on call. But the time it takes me to get into my work gear, get in the van... And you always get in the van, you've got no fuel. You've got to go, you know, like top up your fuel, get there, park, lug your tool bag up fucking four slides of stairs to the, you know, to the flat. You get in, the tenant's in a mood with you anyway, because it took 2 days to get someone there. And you get there and it's like a pressure thing or something like that. And then you get all the way back home and you've earned whatever. Is it just, it's not worth it. It's like 2 hours of your whole life spent earning 60 quid.
Yeah.
Now, if you know, a lot of the time that engineers spend is driving to jobs and parking and lugging tools and all that stuff. And it's just, it's much easier. And it's not a catch-all solution. Like 6 times out of 10, you'll need a physical engineer. But like it will solve a lot of small issues, and obviously it's a great way to earn money without having to actually physically go anywhere.
Yeah, I it's even more so important in this day and age, isn't it? Where you know, you might be laid up if you're self-employed and you've got to take a couple of weeks off self-isolating. Do you know, it's you could still be earning some money, couldn't you? And that goes like you could fall out of a ladder tomorrow and break your leg and you can't work. So these sort of solutions could be real game changers, couldn't they?
They could. I've got 3 engineers out at the moment isolating.
Really?
And not even like they've got it. Like they just like happened to be around someone.
Yeah.
Had it, and then all the suppliers freak out and everyone freaks out and the customers freak out. So you just got to isolate them. So that's 3, like obviously, I'm looking after them, you know, but that's between me and them. But what I'm saying is that that won't always be the case and you might not be able to work. You don't know what's going to happen. So anyway, yeah. It's handy and it's new and it's different. And I'm kind of just trying to push it in the industry and also to landlords. And that's what I've been doing, you know, quite a lot of the time at the moment is going and speaking to landlords and introducing this new service and a new way of doing things.
We'll be right back.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Right, Etan, I think we're having a few internet problems there, so hopefully it didn't affect too much of the show so far. In typical Wayne fashion, I've totally lost where I am and what we were talking about. So we're just gonna roll with it. Let's just crack on. I wanna talk about like physical sort of like, obviously you run a business that is obviously stressful, you know, takes up a lot of time and effort, like as you were building it. Do you look after yourself with regards to health and fitness, you know, diet, that sort of things? What are you into?
Yeah, so I'm. Do you know what? I'm very much like you in this respect, Wayne. I have to monitor myself. So yeah. I know. So for instance, I like to run. I like to run and I like to do weights. So I like to train. However, I can get into like bad cycles. So I know that really I should run about 3 times a week. I should do weights twice a week. I've always watched my diet. I'm pretty good with my diet, but ever since they announced lockdown, for instance, I've been stuffing my face with crap. just like, you know, and then I'll suddenly wake up and I'll be like, do you know what? Let's get back on the horse. I'll start running again, start training again. And yeah, I mean, I do look after my body. I quit smoking. I used to smoke quite a lot. I quit a year ago.
Well done.
Yeah, I mean, I like a beer. So I'm trying to cut that down quite a bit as well, and just keep myself, because I've got so much going on, because I've got, you know, to be on top form all of the time. You know, I can't, you know, eat crap, and I can't drink too much, and I have to sort of keep myself, you know, in a state where I can function.
So in essence, it's sort of like forced accountability because of the like responsibility and the things that you've got going on. You know, you can't afford to be sluggish and slow and not in peak performance, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about it, like obviously, I mean, forget the employees, but I've got 3 kids. You know, I've got a wife who's been my rock. You know, and I do have a lot of employees that depend on me. So I have to make sure that I'm in peak form every day. And running a business is mentally very difficult. Like emotionally.
How have you found, like, I'm more tired off the tools than when I was back in the day when I was working every day. Do you know, I find it more draining than fitting a boiler, for example, and things like that. Do you find it's, that awful?
Yeah, it's mentally tiring, very mentally tiring. So yeah, especially looking at a screen all the time, that's the kind of thing that sucks the life out of you. So you have to just like I manage And that's why I mix it up, mate. That's why, like, so for instance, I was out training one of my guys the other day. I went out, serviced a few boilers, you know, did a bit of this, did a bit of that. Like, I do a couple of boilers here and there on a weekend. I did a gas run a few weeks ago, but on my terms. Like, I don't have to go to work. If I feel like doing it, I go and do it. And I find that if I've had a really good physical day and my body's knackered, I feel fantastic. Like, you know, you get in the shower, you know, like your hands are hurting, your legs are hurting, everything hurts, but it feels great. I think it's just variety, isn't it? Like, it's variety. Spice of life.
See, personally, you know, I never really enjoyed the job from a young age. You know, like, I think I was in my very early 20s when I started to like dread getting up and going and doing the work, which is why I started my business so young. I think I was 23, because then I had the control over what it was I was doing, for starters. You know, I wouldn't necessarily like take a certain job because it just didn't fit what I wanted to do. And it just become more prevalent that I just didn't enjoy it. It was just really as simple as that. And I kept thinking, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way of like, there's people that I know, like the lads that work for me, they love it. You know, if you told them to come and sit in this office and send out the invoices, send out, you know, build a system that automates this and liaise with this person, do this, they would hate it. They would absolutely hate it. Whereas I love that. I love speaking with people. I love selling, you know, so that's what I focused my time on. Whereas like you say, some people might like that variety. You know, I know a few guys that I work with that they have one or two days a week where they don't book on the tools work. They are there off the tools day. And that works for them. Really, it's about finding the solutions that fit your life and what you actually want, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say my goal in life is to not have to work for a living. Like, yeah. For me, time is the most valuable thing in my life. I don't have anything that's worth more. So everything that I'm doing so that I can sit by a lake somewhere and fish, or, you know, like, long term. I love what I do. I love building stuff. I love, you know, overcoming problems and things like that. But that carrot at the end of it for me is to be able to choose whether I want to work or not. It's the choice, right? I don't want someone to say to me, you have to go to work, you have to fit boilers, you have to, you know, plunge toilets, or you have to sit in an office. The whole beauty about building something that runs itself, well, to an extent, nothing really runs itself, but to a certain extent, is that it, you don't have, you can make a choice.
Mate, I halfway through that statement, I was going to start to disagree with you, because you started saying like at the end of the journey, which I don't believe in, but then you sort of recovered it with basically saying that you want to get to the point where you have that choice of what you do. And that is, you know, I look at people that work 9 to 5 every day till they're 65, they retire to do nothing, right? That is my worst nightmare. That is hell. That would be hell on earth for me. I'm not scared of work. I love what I do, but I like exactly as you just said, it's about having that choice. I want to be in a position where the bills are paid, the lifestyle I want, you know. Obviously, if someone woke me up tomorrow and said, you're a millionaire, amazing. But that's not that's not what I'm aiming for, a monetary position. I'm aiming for a lifestyle that means that I can disappear for 4 weeks with the kids, you know. Like I can already do it to an extent, not as much as I need to. I want to be able to do it 3-4 times a year. At the moment, and once, maybe twice a year, I can sort of disappear and work and do what I need to do life-wise. But that's the key is knowing what you want. Some people, they might want to be a millionaire, you know, and that's their target and that's what they have to do, and they're going to have to make sacrifices along that way to get there. I'm damn sure that I could become a millionaire a lot quicker than it may take me if I ever get there, if I sacrificed my family, for example. Do you know, if I decided, no, do you know what, I'm going to just work 7 days a week, I'm going to just put all my attention, all my focus on that. But then that wouldn't fulfill me as a person. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. Brother, whatever. You know. And that's more important. So everything I build is based around creating space around everything else. So I can still do what I love, you know, but I can still do the work that I love as well.
Yeah, I think that we're very similar in that sense. Like for me, so I always think that that retirement is backwards because, you know, it's completely backwards. So the most important time in your life is when your kids are growing up. And you know, they want you around, which is the most important thing. My little girl, is attached to me the whole time, my 3-year-old, and I love it so much. And when I came off the tools in January, and I mean properly came off, no more, pretending to come off the tools, but I actually came off the tools. I said, every morning I'm going to make her breakfast. And so in the mornings now, I go down, I get up with her, we have breakfast, whatever I'm doing, and I can still carry out my job whilst making her breakfast if I need to, because my job is I'm needed on the phone to make decisions or, explain things or whatever. So yeah, it's about choice. And I think, I have this vision of my lake, and being on the lake because I love the water and everything. But if I didn't have a mission, I would be bored. If I didn't have something to get my teeth into, I would lose the will. I would just procrastinate all the time or just sit in front of a TV or whatever. But it's nice to be able to just sit here and hang out with you, for instance, then, get cut to bits and covered in central heating water.
Yeah. Did you ever read my article on my never retirement plan?
I did not.
I'll post a link when we release this episode so other people can know what I'm talking about as well. But in essence, it was basically what we discussed now about if you told me now that I could retire and not work, I would run away. I'd say, fuck off, mate. No, that's not me. I can't be idle. Do you know? I have to have, you called it, a mission. I have to have things going on. I just couldn't ever retire and not have things to do. It's just not in my nature. It's a good article anyway. Well, I'm bigging it up myself, but I expressed what my actual plans were. So I'll post it and have a little read and see what you think, because it was a little bit off the cuff. I just wrote it one day because it was in a discussion and I'll post it anyway. But I know you're big on supporting people and helping people. So obviously you said did you say 3 apprentices?
Yeah, so we've got 2 full-timers and we've just taken on another one part-time. So we've realized that, I've realized that we have to do things differently now. So we usually just whore our apprentices around. We just chuck them from install to install. They go from engineer to engineer. And then we had this thing last week where one of the apprentices, his dad got COVID and then he got tested and he got COVID. He was fine. He had a slightly blocked left nostril, I think is how he described it. But he was fine, stay cold. But the problem was that he'd been with every engineer. So all of a sudden you've got a situation where it's a company killer. A bit like going for a pint down the pub now is a company killer if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Which I learned as well last week. So what we're doing is we're gonna create pods. So we're going to have an engineer. We're going to hire some apprentices, and this is good. If there's anyone listening to this that has anyone that wants to kind of get into the trades, get a bit of experience in this kind of weird time where it's very difficult to find anything solid, we're going to take on kind of almost plumber's mates on a 0 hours as and when basis and buddy them up with one engineer. So that engineer, whenever he needs help, they'll be offered to come into work. Obviously, we'll give them as much notice as possible. So they'll get some trades experience, a bit of money. Obviously, the benefit is they won't be on apprentice wages. They'll be on normal wages. And it means that the engineer doesn't have to, the apprentice doesn't go with lots of different engineers, they just have one. Right. So it's a different way of doing things to prevent, cross-contamination.
Yeah, no, and it's also giving opportunity to some people. You might unearth some golden eggs there with people have great attitudes and Winston from, he's down from your neck of woods. I interviewed him last week and we spoke about this, like how he basically rebuilt his life and it come down to being given an opportunity that he got to work for free, and he worked so bloody hard that the geezer had to pay him because he said, I can't not pay you. How can I not pay you for your work, the work you're doing? So you might find someone in that becomes a long-term, you know, asset to you as well. So it's a win-win. Yeah.
So we,
every relationship needs to be win-win, doesn't it? In some degree. So, you know, you've got to get the help you need for your business. And on the other side of that, the person that will then come in is getting the help financially and skill-wise, life skill-wise as well. So yeah, I really like that. That's good.
If we could, I love Winston, by the way, just want to publicly say that is a man, like, really, really good guy. Love what he's about. Love what he's doing.
A jammy git as well. He's such a good looking git as well.
I know.
He just stands there like, and like just looks good no matter what. a bit of man love there.
Yeah. But for instance, a lot of the people that I've worked with, so I've worked with a young kid from like bad neck of the woods, quite an extensive record. He was only young, at 16, just didn't really have much of a chance. He came to work for us. He came down for a week. He was he's related to one of my guys, and he didn't have anything to do, so he just came along and loved it. And so we just gave him a job and said, like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, if you, this is a chance, this is a fresh start. And he was with us for a while, like 6-7 months. It was just that he was so far away from his home that he just couldn't cope with it. In the end, he went back. Yeah. But if there was, I would love to be involved, and I've spoken to you about this before, with some kind of mentoring scheme for young guys and young ladies as well, like that. You know, their lives have been shit and they need a hand and a chance. And I would be, and I'm looking actively for something like that. So if there's anyone that's involved in anything like that, that's listening to this, or that can just get in touch with me, you know, there's opportunities within my company. I'm willing to take a gamble, you know, and try and help people. It's important.
One of my 3-year, 5-year targets is to have a boxing gym. I love boxing. I love martial arts. I love health and fitness. And I love helping people. And one of the main drivers for the gym will be that it can house people free of charge, not house, like live, like people can come and train that maybe not necessarily had the money to, and didn't have like the confidence to, and it's all part of like a bigger thing that I want to get involved with and do as well. So yeah, I'll echo what Ertan said. If there's any initiatives out there, you know, because you don't want to have to start something from scratch if there's already someone that's done a lot of hard work building something that can help these people. Because at the end of the day, we've all had blessings and curses in our life, and some have worse than others. You know, I was lucky enough to have a mum and dad and a stepdad that loved me and fed me and whatever. But damn sure that especially right now, there's going to be a lot of young people that maybe haven't got that same level. And it could just be simply a day's work experience. It could just fire something up in them, you know, and stop them falling into a rut of benefits and you know, not achieving. And unless people like us that are in a position that can help, you know, because not everyone can help, you know, it's as simple as that. But the people that can should try to. I'm a firm believer in that.
And it's a bug, man. Like success and doing well and having a feeling of accomplishment, it's addictive.
Yeah.
And once someone gets that, like, and they feel good about themselves, because they might just feel be told that they're crap all the time. And then as soon as they complete something and someone says, mate, you did a really good job there, like, well done, suddenly they've got this fire in them and they want to do it. They want to improve. And yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. There's a lot of red tape. And you know, I'm in a, you know, you're in a position, I'm in a position where we could potentially help, but to cut through that red tape is very difficult. So yeah, you know, it's just something to put out there that if there are other people like us, maybe we could get together.
Yeah, maybe we'll pull our resources
and do something, make a difference. So yeah, maybe that's another conversation.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd echo everything you've just said. So yeah, anyone else that's interested, reach out to us and let's see what we can sort of do next year, I guess now it'd be, but let's see where that goes. Again, we've gone off on so many different routes on this conversation. I think I could sit here all day, but I'm trying to think where I wanted to head this conversation down. So let's go back to Help Me Fix It a little bit. You said you've been like recording and doing things lately with that. So what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get landlords on board? Is that where you're heading, or are you focused on getting engineers at the moment to like, where are you at?
So I'm looking for engineers really. The landlords. So what happened was this, kind of a funny story and a bit of a serves you right moment really as well, to me. So I came out with the app. I was all Billy Big Balls. I had like loads of engineers ready and I got some landlords on board, and one of the tenants tried to call. They had a problem and they tried to try to use the app and no one picked up. So basically, like, the three plumbers that they tried were busy. They were doing something else at the time. So therefore it didn't work. So I had to throw it all the way back into redevelopment, spend a load more money, work out a way around it. And so now it's just about to be re-released. So the version that's coming out in 2 weeks is going to be 1.0. I'm looking for, you know, engineers that kind of want to do something a bit different really. And this is like electricians, plumbers, gas engineers, handymen or multi-trade, how you'd call it. Any kind of tradesperson.
Is there somewhere that they can register their interest? Can you send me the link to that so I can make sure that with any promotion of this show, we can get anyone that might be interested and learn a little bit more about it from that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really simple. You just have to not be a muppet, basically. You have to have some experience and know what you're doing and be qualified in what you're doing, and that's it. And be able to use a mobile device, whether it's Android or iOS. Anyone, we ask for like, or I would personally ask for someone 5 years experience, really. Just in case, like, it's... You know, you don't want to like kill someone. You kind of need to know what you're doing. But yeah, definitely get in touch. Drop me a message or via the website. So what I've been doing actually is I am looking for engineers. But what I've been doing is I've been mixing it up. So I've been getting out there, because what I realised is that we haven't got a very good name, us contractors in the property industry.
Yeah.
And I've been going out and challenging that. So I've been asking landlords and anyone connected with landlords and the property industry, you know, what's the problem? What's the problem with contractors? Why do you feel like you're being ripped off? Why do you feel like we're too expensive? You know, why are you angry with the maintenance process? And those interviews have been like massively revealing. And have really changed my point of view on so many things, because on one end you've got contractors, and so I'm talking from someone that does a lot of business to business. So most of my clients are agents and housing associations and stuff like that. So you've got us at one end, and then you've got the landlord at the other end, and then in between is a whole load of shit. You've got tenants, you've got property managers, you've got emails, trails, and this and that, and misunderstandings and all that kind of stuff. And my goal has been to to basically get to the bottom of why contractors and landlords are enemies, really, right, at the end of the day, and to fix that if I can. So I've interviewed a couple of people. I've interviewed Julie Ford. She's the head of the HSPM, which is the Hemel and St. Albans Property Network. I've interviewed Joe Atgar, who's this amazing like landlord and investor. She's a podcaster. She's got something called The Property Jam, which is a really, really funny podcast as well. Nick Watchorn, mutual friend of ours, head of the MPG. And a few others.
Where can we watch these or what?
They're being serialized and released. They'll be out in a couple of weeks.
Is it going to be like on YouTube? Is that the sort of the thing? Yeah. Oh, cool. Excellent. YouTube,
and I'll post the links in. They'll be on my LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'll be posting it on LinkedIn. I'll be posting it through the Help Me Fix Facebook page as well. So,
excellent.
But just as a contractor, as a plumber, as a gas engineer, as an electrician, really interesting, man. Like,
to hear the other side of the coin, isn't it? Yeah. Because for all that we moan, do you know, and gripe about them, they're doing exactly the same about us, aren't they?
Exactly, the
best way to fix any problem is to hear both sides, because that goes for anything, doesn't it? Politics, life, argument with your wife, whatever it might be. If you can get a clear understanding of where the two sides are sitting, where the pain points are and whatever, then you can marry it together and find solutions or at least improve it. You can't solve everything, of course, but you can improve. And I'm really excited for that. I was unsure on what your angle was, like, you know, because I've seen you post a few things and whatever, and I was like trying to work out. I wonder what it is that, like, where's he going with the? Why is he interviewing this type of person? That makes a lot of sense, and I think it's gonna. I think a lot of people will be very interested to hear from that side of it.
For what I'm doing to work, as in like the trying to changes that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
I need to remove some of the barriers. And there's a lot of barriers. Like, you know, you've got to get landlords and engineers on the same side. Everyone's got to be on the same page. And they've got to understand that for us to go and do a job, it's not just we just turn up and do a job, or it's not just can you take a look at something. That it doesn't exist in 2 hours of our life to go and take a look. And to take a look, if you do that five times a day, you work for free. You need to get paid for what you do. We train for years to become good at what we do. And just educating them in that way to understand why it is that we do the way that we do. And then also for us to be educated for them to see what their problems are. Do you know that most landlords, they're terrified the whole time. They feel like they're being ripped off by contractors. They feel like their tenants are going to withhold rent. You know, it's just opened my eyes massively. Yeah.
But then the counter to that is we're on the other side thinking, oh, they don't like, there's that mistrust because we're thinking he's not going to pay. He doesn't, you know, he wants a cheap job. He wants to, or she or whatever. So it's a very, if this was in a relationship, like between a person, it would be like, you'd go marriage counseling, wouldn't you? And be like, look, this bitterness and this sort of like non-trust just isn't healthy. For generations, it's been the case in this industry. Hasn't it?
Yeah, and for me sitting in a position where I'm looking at my what's owing, and I'm owed 65 grand today, as of today, right, from agents or businesses or landlords or whatever, and I'm like, where's my money?
Yeah.
And I'm unaware of what's going on in their lives. And yeah, it's mental, man. It's been a really exciting process anyway.
So we're coming towards, I think we're about an hour ish at the moment. I try to keep the shows around an hour. So what would a couple of tips be to anybody that is listening to this and aspiring to take a few more steps towards being off the tools or running a business rather than sort of just having a job? And just a few sort of key things that might help those people.
Okay, so the first thing that I would say is to get a grip on your numbers. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
All right, so there's no point of doing anything in a business. It can look as pretty as you want it to look, but if you're not making any money, there's no point. And if you can figure out part of becoming a businessman rather than an engineer is to learn how to make money and how to cut overheads and things like that. So get all your overheads out, get all your costs out, get it all on paper or into a program or whatever, however you want to do it, and actually project your revenue, project, see where you're losing money, see where you're making money, focus on where you're making money, and cut overheads where you don't need them, and then you'll start to make money.
Can you share that rubbish story with the group?
Do you
mind? Like, obviously, Etam runs a fairly decent sized business, but the principle of what he's going to say can apply to anybody. Do you know? Even if you're not a business owner, it can apply to you in your own life. So yeah, far away. It's a nice little story. So
I was doing my sheet at the beginning of the year. So I have an overhead sheet, and I work out what my delivery cost is per hour, so that I can work out what I need to charge per hour. And I'd be willing to share that information with anyone that wants to know how to do that. So what I found out was that at the end of every job, we would order a rubbish collection, right? So we've got a rubbish guy. And because...
What a job title, by the way. Do you know, I call it the rubbish guy. A bit demoralizing, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
So our rubbish guy was in Watford, and we started doing a lot of work in Aylesbury. So he would drive from Watford to Aylesbury, pick up the boiler and all the boxes and all the stuff and get rid of it, and then send a bill. And it would be like 60 quid, 40 quid, 80 quid, depending on what it was. So that's fine. And I started totting it all up. And over a year, I've done £8,000 in rubbish collections. £8,000 in rubbish, right? So I was like, that's insane. It was £700 a month it worked out to. So £8,400 in the year. So what I did was I hired a garage in Watford, and I basically got like a combination lock on it. And now the guys drop off their rubbish after every job or every couple of days. And when it gets full to the brim, I split it. I put metal on one side, I put rubbish on the other. I get my rubbish guy to come and take the rubbish, and I say to him, you can have the metal for free. And that way, I think it cost me £100 for the garage and maybe £140 every 6 weeks for the collection. So I saved like masses amounts in rubbish collections. And that was just one thing. So what I do at the beginning of the year, I gave myself one thing to do a month. So 1 month it was rubbish, sort that problem out. And like we do our masterminds every month, and we set ourselves targets and identify problems in our businesses. And that's what it's all about, tackling each problem one at a time and saving money. So that's one thing I would say, get a handle on your numbers.
Yeah, I definitely echo that. Sorry, Etan, 2 seconds. Sorry again to interrupt the interview. Sammy? My wife was just trying to sneak in. I'm hoping she's bought more coffee. Are you outside, Sam? Quickly, because I'm recording. Oh, no, I don't want a boring tea. She was just asking me for a tea. She didn't bring me my black coffee that I like.
Oh,
that's
honestly,
not good. Not good. This is going to start an argument. She's just been driven past one to come here. I'm not happy. Right, let's get back focused for this next bit. So, yeah, that's a great lesson, isn't it? That's a great, like...
And probably the most important thing I've learned in the last couple of years. The second thing is to automate as much as physically possible.
Right? Yeah.
Everything. Down to, if there's something that you do and you do it more than once, it means it can be automated. If you have to do it, if you notice you're doing the same thing over and over again, like invoicing, like texting people, calling people to book in jobs, whatever, find a way to automate it. Speak to Wayne, speak to Francis, we've also got Hazel, who's an expert in service mate. Get yourself service mate, get yourself Xero, and start doing things
I think the problem a lot of people have is they see these softwares as an expense, whereas I see it as an asset. Do you know, I see it as an investment. Every time I pay that subscription to Xero, to Lead Hero, to Excel, not Excel, Xero, to me, that's an investment into my business, because I can leverage that money to make me more, or improve the journey, or manage whatever it might be. And I think that's a mindset shift, that if you looked at it, rather than it being as an expense, as what it can do for you, do you know, what it can actually achieve for you, it would make people's decision to sign up to these sort of things a lot easier.
Yeah, so I, the way I do it, this is how I work out whether it's worth doing or not, or automating. My hourly rate is £70 an hour plus VAT. All right, so I work out how many hours it used to take me to do invoicing. So I used to spend probably an hour a day at the end of every day doing my invoicing. So that's five hours a week. So that's £350 a week. So that's £1,400 a month. And for Xero, I pay about 40 quid.
Yeah.
So if you work out what, so we used to have, so I've used this before with my wife, and it probably hasn't gone down as well, but my wife used to ask me to help clean the house, right? So she used to be like,
I know where this is going.
Help me clean the house. So I said to her, so my logic was, well, no, because I charge £70 an hour, but it's going to charge me £15 an hour to get a cleaner. So yeah. I ended up getting a cleaner instead. But that's the kind of logic. It backfired now because I've had a cleaner for 4 years and can't get rid of it. But
But the principle there is right, is correct. You know, you have a value of time available, yeah. Right? That time available needs to be best utilized if you ever want to achieve bigger and better. So leveraging your time, you know, as long as you... Like if you pay that out, that cleaner, that hour that you pay that cleaner, you make sure you do it on a high value task in your business, you know, then it's a no brainer, isn't it? And you could multiply that like on cleaning the car. The wife always says to me, clean the car. I'm like, nah, right, cleaning the car. Do you know, I'll go down to the petrol station, pay 15 quid. It's done nice. It's done clean. In that half hour that I'm waiting, I'll go get a coffee. I'll chase up my emails. I'll try and get a sale across the line. I'll do it. So I do the same.
And it's the same principle as you grow and as you get bigger. So this whole letting go thing that we talked about earlier. So one of the major things that I've realized is that if it's something that isn't, I need to say this so it doesn't sound like all Billy Big Balls, because it's not. If it's something that doesn't require a decision-making, someone that can make a decision. So for instance, if it's something that can be just done by someone else, delegate it. You have to allocate your time accordingly. So it has to be something, if somebody else can do it as well as you can, then get somebody else to do it so that you can develop your business, you can work on systems and you can come up with products and drive change and you know, come up with new ways.
Yeah, because the if you're stuck doing stuff that other people can do, the stuff that other people can't do doesn't get done. You know, it really is as simple as that, isn't it? You need to create the space, the mind space, the physical space to focus on the things that only you can do in your business. Yes. Everything else, get somebody else in, outsource it, VAs, you know, automate systems, all of the stuff that comes, you know, you need to take it off your plate. You know, you can't have this pile of stuff to do and expect to do it all to the best of your ability and to still have time to move the needle on your business and move your needle on in your family and everything like that. And it's so important is to delegate.
And lists, man. Like I got lists. I got an Etan to-do list, which is my elite list. And then Rachel, who runs the office, she fills the list of things that can't be done by the team internally. I got a help me fix list. I've got, you know, I've just got lists everywhere. And I look at, I have like important things on those lists that have to be done that day, and I'll do them one by one. You know, kind of end up as a bit of a slave of your own design, really. But you know, I'm trying to maximize my efficiency so that I can get a lot done, so that in the future I don't have to do as much. It just sort of runs itself.
Yeah. It just comes back to the basics of planning, doesn't it? Like the list is a plan of attack for that day, that month, that year, whatever that list might be. It's giving you, if you keep it in here, you might get some of it done. It might happen. Writing it down gives it a tangible sort of place to sit and somewhere to reference back to. Like talk about lists. Like, I don't know if you can see it. You know, these are lists that like I keep them on my desk until I like finish them, basically. Do you know,
until they're done,
until I can screw that up, right, and say, boom, there's stuff. It might be that some of this is like my own journaling, so it could be that I was add something that I want to just write down, you know, get it out of my head and onto some paper, and then from these lists and notes, it will be either completed, ticked off, thrown away, or it will be turned into an article or a podcast show, whatever it might have been. You know, there's such a variety in here of stuff. And it just keeps it going. If I try to keep all that in my head, it ain't happening. It ain't going to work. So I definitely support the list building thing.
So that's it. Really delegate, automate, and get a hold of your numbers, that's how you do it.
Here to that, definitely. Yeah. So as throughout the show, we've mentioned everything that Etan is involved in and wants to be involved in, and in the links in the descriptions of all of this, when you're watching it either on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or even on Facebook, all the links to everything that Etan's involved in and doing and everything we've spoke about will be in there. So please check it all out and make use of him. Etan is a very clever, honorable man. You know, he, like I said, he's become a friend of mine. So he's always around in the groups to help where he can. So don't be shy, you know, get in touch with him. He'll be more than happy to help you and give advice where he can. And I hope to see you on the next Wayne's World. You know, you've been a founding participant of it. So I hope to see you there again. That's just another little seed that I leave there just to other people watching it. So it's just another series that we record live on Facebook for anyone that's interested. But it also comes on the podcast a week later as well. So from me, that's me done. Is there anything else you want to say, or are we all done, Etan?
Just thank you, mate. Just thanks for having me on. I just like hanging out with you, so it's great to spend an hour talking. If you said, if anyone, you know, if I can be of any help to anyone, I'm always around. So feel free to get in touch about anything.
Okay. Excellent. God bless everyone.
Lead Hero is the UK's number one marketing automation platform for ambitious trades businesses looking to save time, make more money, and level up. Because just getting leads is not enough anymore. Lead Hero will help you triple your sales and maximize profits with our job flow acceleration system. Visit leadhero.ai to learn more.
I really hope you enjoyed the show. I just wanted to pull it out there for anyone listening that I offer business coaching, but also life coaching. My life is centered around something called the 3 Bs, which stands for body, business, and balance. When you work with me as a coach, we tackle all 3 aspects of life. So you as an individual, body, mindset, health, fitness, knowledge, education. Business B obviously stands for your business, improving, maximizing opportunities, elevating, making more money. And balance stands for for friends, family, loved ones, you know, making time for everything in your life. And the 3 Bs is the core element to that. If you'd like to learn more, I would ask you to reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you might be consuming my information. Or you can email me directly at wayne@offthetools.co.uk. I'm here waiting to assist you to elevate across all aspects of life. Have a good one. No excuses. Let's go.